Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's time again for ABC to light some lights and hit a special height tonight. 10 years of the Great Christmas Light Fight. Executive producer Brady Connell joins me next in the same day internet radio exclusive. Our second 30 minutes deals with Fine Art Auction Channel, one of the more unique new attractions available through smart TV products. We'll learn more from Vice President Mark Bronson. Also ahead, PBS gets into award mode, Fox and DirecTV's Carrot Spat, our new classic trivia question, and we remember Irene Cara and the TV side of her fame. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's Cyber Monday 2022, and tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Monday after Thanksgiving, 51 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you to the program about TV's current and future, our final episode of November 2022. Great to have you all aboard. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. I certainly did as well, and we have some wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour and change, and we invite you to interact with them. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is in business for you as well, so use it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Stream, follow the instructions, I'll be live with you. Brady Connell, the executive producer of The Great Christmas Light Fight, starting season 10 tonight on ABC, joins us live from California after these news notes. Few award ceremonies make their way to public television. One will for the first time next month. It's the Earthshot Prize, formed last year by Prince William to celebrate innovations that improve the environment. PBS and the BBC will co-produce the event, which will tape in Boston this Friday and get a primetime run over many public television stations December 14th. PBS's website and YouTube channel will offer a pre-television presentation next Monday. It's been a fine while since we've had a major carriage tip between programmer and cable or satellite operator. We may get one impacting DirecTV customers Friday morning if that organization can't achieve a new deal with Fox. If a blackout happens, Fox, local Fox stations, Fox Sports 1 and 2, and Fox Deportes would be off DirecTV, while Fox News Channel and Fox Business Network stay put under a separate contract. Negotiations between the two parties continue. ATX, the popular annual TV festival in Austin, Texas, has new owners this afternoon. Penske Media, the parent of entertainment trade paper and website Variety, will take over the festival and expand it from 3 or 4 days in Austin to a schedule of events year-round. Co-founders Emily Gibson and Kathleen McFarlane will continue to manage ATX. Earlier, Penske Media acquired ownership of the annual South by Southwest Entertainment Technology Showcase, also based in Austin. Now time for quickies. More than 17 million people watched Fox presentation of the Ohio State-Michigan College Football Showdown Saturday. Look for a Food Network Tailgate Takedown series launching January 4th in association with the National Football League. Sonny Anderson and former NFL player Vince Wilfork will host from NFL game sites across the U.S. Famed comic book writer and artist Frank Miller will put together a miniseries adaptation of the popular Corto Maltese graphic novels. Paramount Plus and multi-channel bundle Pluto TV will present a live Metallica benefit concert on December 16th. And BET Plus gets first dibs running the perennial Hollywood Christmas Parade December 8th. The CW and BET will show the parade December 18th and 23rd, respectively. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live for a same-day internet radio exclusive from Marina Del Rey, California, the executive producer of the popular holiday season miniseries, The Great Christmas Light Fight, starting tonight, its 10th season on ABC, Brady Connell. Brady, welcome in. Happy holiday season to you.
Thank you, Simon. And with that energy, I think you could play Santa Claus or an elf or something. You got to match your energy.
We'll figure out something like that maybe off the scene. We'll see what happens. Can you believe that this program has lasted 10 years? And if you do, and I'd be sure you do believe it, why do you think it has lasted so long?
No, it's so funny. I was the first person hired back in the day, and we thought we were just filling a hole, you know, that ABC had. And they said, hey, can you do a Christmas lights show and knock out a few displays around the country? And I thought, oh, this will just last 1 year, because I just didn't think there were enough Christmas displays to go beyond 1 or maybe 2 years. I thought we would run out. And it turns out that because of the popularity of the show, tons of people enter the Christmas Lights community every year, and we are a totally self-sustaining show now in terms of the amount of displays out there. We're literally picking from hundreds of new displays every year. So just for that reason alone, I've been shocked. But I'm not shocked that the show has struck a chord with audiences. I think families are just always looking for something, you know, nice to be able to watch as a family during the holidays, and they can always count on us to be there this year on Monday nights.
What makes Christmas Lights special for people to enter a competition all about it?
It's funny. I used to do Extreme Makeover Home Edition as well, the original one and also the reboot. And I have come to learn at shows like this that it sort of feel good, that it actually is all about the community. It sounds kind of corny, but it's true. Every time we ask, you know, a family why they do what they do and why they're even on our show, it's not about, I mean, certainly they love to win the money and win the trophy and all that, but ultimately it comes down to the fact that they're doing it for the kids and for the community. And whenever they get tired or it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and it's freezing and they're putting up lights and they're wondering why they're doing it, they just think about the kids they're going to be coming by and, you know, putting a smile on their faces and creating an annual tradition for people in their community. And they tell us that they have, you know, grandparents and parents and kids and who have multi-generations have come by and viewed the same display that's been up for 30 or 40 years. So it's the community. That's the reason.
Mm-hmm. For folks who have not seen your series, and we'll hopefully see it tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Pacific Time, on the local ABC station. How does the competition work?
It is so simple, and it was one of my goals getting the show going, was just to keep it very simple. Every episode, there are four families from across the country, and our judge travels to each of those four displays, and then we give them a few days to think about it, and then they pick a winner. They secretly pick a winner. And then we travel that judge back to the winner, and the judge surprises them and gives them a $50,000 prize and the fantastic light fight trophy. So every episode there is a winner, and we do six episodes a year, so that's $300,000 that we're giving out each year, which, by the way, now after 10 years is at the $3 million mark. So that's a lot of prize money for Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm. And how do you pick the contestants? They obviously come from all over the country. How do they, first of all, get the chance to enter? And how do you determine who gets on what episode?
Yeah, the first year, you know, we were reaching out because it was kind of a viral thing. A lot of these light shows were going viral at the time. And we definitely had to work harder to find families. But now that the show's been on, anyone who's in the light fight space or has been doing lights for a long time, or even someone new who's just started, they know about the show. And they sort of, most of them make their own decision as to when they want to apply to be on the show after, you know, several years of building their light display out. And we still find some. Some don't come to us. We still have a casting team that starts actually today, believe it or not. Today is not only is it the premiere of season 10, but we are shooting season 11, just for your insider information for your listeners. We are shooting season 11 right now, and today we started casting for season 12. Season 12 hasn't been greenlit, but the casting has moved forward. So anybody who's listening who thinks they have a pretty good Christmas light display, they can actually go to lightfightcasting.com and apply to be on the show and then shoot video this winter, and then we would consider them to be shot next year.
The Great Christmas Light Fight celebrates a decade on ABC tonight. At 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, it's a two-hour program, and there will be other two-hour shows coming up the following two Mondays. We are speaking with the executive producer of the series from the get-go, Brady Connell. He joins us live from Marina Del Rey, California, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happy you are joining us as well and making us part of your Cyber Monday 2022. Simon Appbaum with you live from the other side of the country. That's New York, 51 degrees, mostly sunny at the top of the hour. Of course, your comment for Brady, make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember a network called SpeedVision? At one point, it was one of the most popular television networks on the air, broadcast, cable, smart TV, et cetera, and so forth. Well, SpeedVision is back this holiday season through smart TV sets and smart devices, and you'll find out all about it Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised when one of our guests will be the new president and chief executive officer of the service, Robert Scanlon. That's Robert Scanlon, head of SpeedVision. He is live with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Why is it a very, it seems like three seasons. You know, yeah, this season on the air, as you mentioned, you're already shooting season 11, and now you're casting season 12. So why work so far in advance?
Yeah, it's a good question. We weren't able to do that, obviously, get out of the gate when we were first started. We were calling people in August and said, hey, can you put your lights up, you know, next month in September? And then we needed to edit in November and air in December. That's how quickly the first few seasons were turned around. And we found ourselves shooting a lot of families, you know, in their T-shirts and their shorts because we were shooting late August or early September. And it just didn't look very Christmassy. And we were also rushing, you know, through the edit. So in ABC's wisdom, they approved us shooting two seasons 1 year. So season 5 and 6, we actually shot the same Christmas season. And that allowed us to jump ahead a year. And so now we are always in November, December, when it's cold out and it looks wintry and Christmassy and lights are up, all lights are up. And then we realize that we need video from families. And the best time for them to shoot video is during the holidays. So if they're not already cast to be on the show, then like this Christmas is the time for people to be shooting their lights, sending us their video. We would shoot them next year in Christmas of 2023, but that would not air until Christmas of 2024. So it is one of those very unusual seasonal shows where we really have to plan ahead. But it also gives us an opportunity to nurture families that are, you know, want to be on the show, but maybe they haven't quite gotten there yet, and we can sort of, you know, kind of help them along with suggestions of things that have worked in the past. So, and a lot of families apply to be on the show year after year after year and don't get on. And then vice versa, sometimes people apply to be on the show for their first time, and they just started last year, and they get on the show. And then you asked about how we select them to go on episodes. It's always a function of production, of logistics, of where they are in the country. We want to have a good cross-section of the country and locations and types of displays. We usually have one light show, like an actual, you know, technology-based light show set to music in each episode, and the rest are statics. So we try to mix up the types of displays that are in an episode. But we don't have any – we have no stake in, you know, who does well or who wins. It's a pretty random – other than location – and variety, it's pretty random, actually.
Once you select the contestants for a given episode, are they given any ground rules in terms of what they can do and also what they can't do with their lights or other trimmings that they put around the house?
Yeah, that's another really good question. So first season, when we were just trying to figure out what the show was, we did put, you know, I came from a competition, you know, television background. And I was like, well, there's got to be a certain number of days that they work on it. It's got to be fair. And so we actually put some restraints on it with a 21-day schedule. So we showed up, and they had no lights, and then they had 21 days to get it done. And that we realized that was really silly. There was no reason to put that kind of constraint on families. So I forgot what year it was, but we finally just changed the rules and said, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can leave the lights up there all year round if you want, you know. And once we did that, it just freed up the you know, the families to just get more creative and be able to do more because they could start setting up months in advance if they wanted to. But there's really no constraints. I mean, we just have certain, you know, rules that they do have to follow, but there are very few rules that have carried over from the first few seasons.
Mm-hmm. By the same token, how ambitious have the contestants gotten over the years? Are you seeing that, you know, as time has gone on, it's not just lights, it's like all sorts of special effects, it's blending in music, maybe even having human beings be part of the display. What's your sense of how ambitious people have gotten or families have gotten over the run of the series?
It's kind of mind-blowing. For any of your listeners who do watch our show, you know, each year, they'll know that every year, there are numerous displays that blow my mind, and I would never have imagined in a million years. Even after we've done over 250 displays all over the country in 47 states, I think. And we, you know, we as the producers, we never know what we're going to get really until we show up. And we have seen their video from the year before, but then once they know they're going to get on the show, they go crazy. And we have had like this season, the season that's airing now, season 10. You'll see tonight, if anybody watches the show tonight, there were a couple of brothers who you know, love Disney and are sort of those kinds of people. They just love Disney. And anyway, they ended up calling Disneyland and found out how to build an actual ride, like a ride for the judge to get in this car and go through their garage. And they turned it into Marshmallow Way and Lollipop Lane and all this. And I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's brilliant. It's just fantastic. It's not a traditional, you know, just Christmas lights display. They were really getting, doing something unique. And then you'll also see tonight a family that basically covered every single inch of the inside of their house. And it is mind-blowing. So I definitely recommend everybody watching the show tonight if they can. And then there are many more, just spectacular displays that are coming on over the next couple of Monday nights. But I'm always surprised.
By the way, if the family doesn't have a display when they are picked, how much time do they have to make a display?
Wait, say it again. If they're what?
Yeah, if a family that's chosen does not have the display up and running when they're picked, how much time do they have to get the display up and running?
Oh, well, we would only pick a family that has already demonstrated to us that they have an amazing display worthy of the show. So we look at all the videos, we pick them, and then they basically have, 4 months to, once they know they're on the show, to add more to that, to what they had already done. They're usually told in July, and then we come and would shoot as early as November 1st. So they got a few months.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, when do you start to tape the segments where you actually have production crews go out to the various families, check on the, and then bring in your experts that we've known for so long, lifestyle expert Carter Oosterhaus and Tanya Nayak. Maybe some of you remember her also from Food Network's Restaurant Impossible. She worked with Robert Irvine a lot of the restaurant reservations over the years. How soon do the crews go out, and how soon do they go out and meet the families?
It's a good question, and you can imagine the production schedule. So each year we're shooting 24 displays all over the country, and we have two judges. So it actually takes 6 weeks to shoot an entire season, and we have four different crews that basically zigzag the country, and then the two judges, Carter and Tanya, meet up with those crews sort of in a really strange, grid in order to accomplish all 24 segments. And then they have to go back and give the award. So it's actually 30 shoots that happen in a 6 week period. And that's usually from November 1st to about December 15th.
Brady Connell is the executive producer of The Great Christmas Light Fight, celebrating its 10th season tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. And he is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, live from Marina Del Rey, California. Tom Halpern with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Brady, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up our next half hour, we're going to stay in California, IA, and we're going to speak with the vice president of Fine Arts Auction Channel, one of the most unique smart TV distributed services in quite some time. His name is Mark Bronson, and it's a very interesting network, this Fine Arts Auction Channel, that you will be hearing about. Plus, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We have a brand new question. We have brand new prizes. We're going for our third weekly winner in a row. And then after the top of the hour, we will have a tribute to Irene Cara. And what an amazing talent she was in the 1970s and 80s. And you may not believe it, but she also had a lot of great credits in the world of television. In fact, you might not know it, TV was actually her starting point of her incredible career. We'll talk about that after the top of the next hour. Brady, what surprises you about where you go to see these incredible displays? For example, do you find that some of the more inventive displays are in the big cities as opposed to the rural or the suburban areas?
Yeah, that's another really good question. The only thing that surprises me is that we have found that we go a little bit less to the Northwest and sort of the northern Midwest for whatever reason. And I'm not sure why that is. We've been there. We've certainly been there. We've been to Seattle. We've been to Cheyenne, Wyoming. But generally speaking, the most displays that are ready for our show are East Coast are the South, and California does pretty well too. And it's interesting because I think it might be easier. Honestly, I've thought about it over the years. Maybe just easier to put lights up for the winter. If you live in the South, you don't have to deal with the snow as much. But we've been everywhere. We've been, like I said, 47 states, and we're hoping to get the last three states in the next next year or two.
What are the three states you haven't gone to yet?
I think Montana is one. I don't remember the other two, but I know we want to go to Montana, and Idaho. I've been to Idaho. So there are two others. I can't remember what they are, but we'll put a special word out on our casting site. By the way, the casting site is
there's got to be some family in Montana and Idaho. I mean, that's like great Christmas country.
I know. You would think, especially the winter and the snow and everything. But we're just grateful that so many people, you know, take the time to make these displays for their own communities, and then they're willing to share their art. I really call it an art because it's painting with light, really. And we're just always grateful that they're willing to open their doors to us and let us document it, share it with the country and the rest of the world. The show airs in other countries.
When Carter and Tania go out to see these families and see their displays, what is their criteria? How do they determine who wins the $50,000 and that wonderful Light Bite trophy?
It's another really good question, and I'd love to preface it by saying that it is the judges' 100% decision. ABC, of course, and Disney and the attorneys wouldn't have it any other way. There's no influence on the judges. They see the four displays. We show them photographs so they can be reminded of, you know, of the displays. But there's no pressure at all, and it's up to them. So that's important for your listeners to know. And then their criteria. There used to be a slightly more official criteria in those first few years. It was use of lights and Christmas spirit and a couple other categories. And then we sort of took those away, and we just decided that it's really up to the judge to take notes. They actually take notes each night, and then they review those notes with an attorney, and then make their selection of which of the four is their favorite. So there's certainly a subjective element to it. We decided not to, you know, give points for dozens of categories. That just seemed not in the Christmas. So, but it's just up to the judge. It's how they feel at the end of the run of visiting those four families.
What has your show done for these families, whether they win or not? What do they come away from the experience with?
Well, that's a nice question. It's very rare. I don't think I can remember a family that has said, boy, we really wish we weren't on the show. You know, everybody, and we have great crews who travel out there, and Tanya and Carter are fantastic. And then we had Michael Maloney and Sabrina Soto in the first couple of years of the show. And the families always enjoy meeting them and working with the crews. And I think they take away a really positive experience of having interacted with Hollywood. You know, like we don't come in and tell them what to do. We encourage them to do what they're already doing. And we just ask them if we can document it and tell their story. And sometimes, you know, we tell touching stories. I mean, if you've seen the show, a lot of times, you know, there's an underlying story, not just about the Christmas lights, that is very moving and can be very inspirational. And we always ask the family if it's okay for us to tell that story. And they usually do share that with us and with the audience. But, you know, I think that's the takeaway, is a good experience. And then on top of that, if they win, you know, it's $50,000. It's a lot of money. And they really do get this very cool Light Fight trophy, which was designed our first year. We decided we really wanted to make a special trophy. And some of the people say, I'm not sure that's true, but they say they don't care about the $50,000, and they only care about the trophy. So, there's a lot of takeaways across the board.
Give us an inspirational story, one of the more unique either displays or one of the more unique families that have been featured on the program.
Well, an example is, and the one that always touches me is when there was someone who did the display, you know, a grandpa, you know, who did the display for 30, 40 years, and perhaps they passed away recently. We've had a number of these. And then the kids and the grandkids have taken up the mantle and have decided that they really want to do it, you know, in their grandfather's name or the grandmother's name. And those are always very touching to me, because you can tell how touching it is to the families to have maintained, you know, the vision of their grandparent, and then to be able to share it with the rest of the world. And at the end of the episode, they literally look up to heaven and say, "This is for you, Grandpa," you know. And it's a nice show in that way. You don't really see that coming. you know, we kind of like dazzle you with lights, but then we, you know, if there is a heartwarming story, we'll tell that part of it too. And I think more people come back to watch our show than they think. I think they think that they're coming back for the lights, but I think a lot of them are coming back for the story.
Is doing this miniseries a year-round thing for you, or do you get a chance to do other shows over the course of the year?
No, it's another good question. I usually do two shows a year, so I'm very lucky. As a, you know, for your listeners, I'm an executive producer, showrunner guy, and so I do the show every sort of June to December, a little bit in January, and then I do another show, usually from January to June. And this past year, I did a show called Secret Celebrity Renovation. It was a CBS renovation show with celebrities who were giving a renovation to someone from their past, you know, from their hometown, like a teacher or a coach or something like that. So it's always nice to see what other shows are going to pop up for me in the first half of the year.
How did you enjoy doing that? That was on CBS this past summer. How did it do, and is that coming back next year?
It was great. I know the answer to the question, but I don't think I'm at liberty to tell you, but it's all good. So, yeah, it did fine. I mean, we had Shaq on, and we had Aaron Donald from the Rams, and, you know, all sorts of celebrities. And it's a really another feel-good show. I think it's nice for audiences to see celebrities, you know, take 3 days out of their life to go and help someone from their past and sort of pay it backwards. But, yeah, it's a good show. And there's another show called Celebrity IOU that's sort of similar on HGTV.
Final question for you, Brady. How do you want to grow the series in decade number two, starting with the two seasons, number 11 and number 12, that you're working on right now?
Yeah, when we're, you know, as we're casting season 12, I'm thinking, oh, man, this I don't see, unless people stop watching, which is always possible. But if we continue to have, you know, the viewership that we have and we're able to keep our, you know, our budget reasonable, there's really no reason it can't go on and just maintain its status as a, you know, as a holiday annual that families can sort of count on watching. But there are, you know, I'm always big on bringing newness to a format. And along the way, in the first 10 years, we had neighborhoods versus neighborhoods, which was kind of cool. We had one episode where we, you know, an entire neighborhood synchronized their lights and Carter had to go up in a hot air balloon to see the whole thing. We went international. We went to Canada, which was kind of fun. And we also had a neighbors versus neighbors. So side-by-side neighbors competed against other side-by-side neighbors. So it was like twice the lights, you know, for each display. And I would like to do more international. And I also would like to pitch to ABC. They don't even know the show. I'd like to pitch a sort of a world lights competition, you know, where we go to the most amazing lights locations in the world and have, you know, live performances and things like that. So there's definitely Christmas lights is here to stay. And I hope that viewers keep watching so that we can expand in the future.
ABC marks a decade of the Great Christmas Light Fight starting tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. So check your local listings for the ABC station in your area. It's two-hour episodes, 8 to 10 p.m., so two one-hour episodes each time, and it will continue the following Monday and the Monday after that as well. And remember, for more details about the program online, go to abc.com. That's the Great Christmas Light Fight starts season number 10 tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station, and at least two more seasons coming your way in the years to come. Brady Connolly, executive producer of the series, thank you for joining us. Delighted we finally had you on the program. To you and everybody involved in making the show, have a fantastic year 10 and many, many more to come.
Thank you, Simon. I still want to see you in that Santa suit. See how you do.
Will do. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Thank you, Simon.
Brady Cano, executive producer of The Great Christmas Light Fight, joining us live from Marina Del Rey, California. Once again, Season 10 begins tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on your local ABC station. For more details, abc.com. This is Tomorrow Be Televised, the promo about the tube and where it's going. And we're here every Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Block Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And when we come back, we will have, in our next half hour, the vice president of the Fine Art Auction Channel, now making its way through smart TV sets and smart devices, Mark Bronson. He will join us live from California. Plus, near the top of the hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. And at the top of the hour, our special tribute by Irene Cara, especially on what turned out to be a very interesting television side of her career, including how she got her start through television. That's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out The Miracle Man Show today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. It's the kind of entertainment you won't get anywhere else. That's The Miracle Man Show on Blog Talk Radio today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best of ETR always happening 24/7 at YouTube.com, now more and more available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on Cyber Monday, November 2022. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New Haven, York. It's now 51 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. So be part of the program. Interact with our guests by way of the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Over the year, we have had a chance to introduce you to a lot of new television services that are available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. And among the more unique ones to debut this fall, the Fine Art Auction Channel, which is now available on smart TV sets and smart devices, as well as coming your way through other means as well, such as not just YouTube, but Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and other social media vehicles. Joining us live from Indian Wells, California, is the Vice President of the Service, Mark Bronson. Mark, happy holiday season to you. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you as well. Great to be here with
you
today.
Thank you, and you to all of your cast and crew making your channel work. What is the Fine Art Auction Channel? How long has it been in development for?
Thank you for asking, Simon. The Fine Art Auction has been around for 16 years. We're in our 16th year. We've been broadcasting on live television through cable providers around the country and direct Dish TV around the country for 16 years. And now we've been on air in Australia for 3 years on a major shopping channel called Number 10, The Gecko in Australia.
And what's the idea of the channel? What kind of auctions in fine art do you do, and how can people participate when they're watching at home?
Well, it's easy to participate in that you just go to, if you're not receiving the channel on one of your cable providers or you're not able to locate it on your smart TV, you can go to the Fine Art Auction website and watch it live streaming, and you can register. All you have to do is provide some basic information to watch it live. And what we do is we provide artwork basically to all of America. So we're showing artwork from the last 600 years, from old masters to cutting-edge contemporary urban art, and we're giving the American people an opportunity to have very affordable artwork in their home. People who don't ordinarily perhaps get a chance to go to an art gallery or to a museum locally, we have wonderfully educated presenters who are experts in art history, and they're lecturing and explaining what each piece consists of and why that particular artist is important. And then if someone would like to, they can phone in and place a bid, a nominal bid, and prices can range from a few hundred dollars up to tens of thousands of dollars, depending on the work of art.
Mm-hmm. Before I get into how you determine what auctions you cover and how you do that, I understand over a month ago the channel was relaunched. Which included the ability to have it being distributed on smart TV sets and devices. Why that decision? What led to that call?
Yeah, we wanted to, in essence, we wanted it to coincide with kind of a rebranding makeover of our website and all of our public relations and everything that we had going out to the public. You know, we've kind of been a best-kept secret. We have very, very dedicated followers and many people who have acquired artwork from us over the years, but we wanted to try to kind of spread the word out there, and that's why the relaunch and the updating of all of the channels to coincide with all of the ways that one can now watch televised programming.
Incidentally, what smart TV sets and devices are you on right now?
Basically all of them that have access to the YouTube channel and the ability to watch live streaming on your television, because you could pull up the website. Aside from beaming directly into 60 million homes around the country through all the traditional ways of cable providers and satellite TV.
Mm-hmm. So that was the Samsung, Vizio, LG, Hisense, smart TV sets, Roku, Amazon Fire TV,
yes.
Apple TV, et cetera, et cetera. They all have it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to a service like this, go ahead, Mark.
No, please, son.
Yeah. I was just wondering, when you're dealing with a service like this, which deals with fine art, which for some people would think would be a niche service, especially the idea of placing a bid, how do you make a service like this engaging to a wider audience? How do you make it more entertaining without dumbing down either the auction items or the whole idea of fine art or the whole background of fine art?
That's a great question, Simon. So in essence, we have trained auctioneers who also happen to be very charismatic, entertaining, energetic, funny presenters. And so they, in their own way, in doing a presentation about a particular work of art, with also the use of video content and audio content, are able to bring to life, so to speak, individual works of art by artists from Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, which we have engravings by those artists, all the way up to artists such as Banksy, one of the most famous contemporary urban street artists. And so we offer a wide swath of material that we show, and along the way, it's always the mantra of education, entertainment, and great artwork. That's our motto.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Mark Bronson. He is the vice president of the Fine Art Auction Channel, which has been around actually for a decade and a half plus. Now it's available through smart TV sets and smart devices in a reworked out format. And we'll talk more about that format and how it works shortly. And Mark joins us live from Indian Wells, California this half hour on Smart Beat Televised, our second straight guest from that golden state. And this is Simon Applebaum. We're here with you live from Nueva York, where it's 51 degrees, the bottom of the hour. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, Friday on Smart Beat Televised, one of our guests is the person involved with the revival of Speed Vision. At one point, it was one of the most popular cable channels around. Now it's back through exclusively smart TV sets and smart devices. Robert Scanlon, who I believe at one point was involved with the Discovery Channel's automotive programming and its own auto service. He's the president and chief executive officer of the new Speed Vision, and he'll be with us live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Smart Beat Televised. Also, you can join me most Wednesday afternoons around 2:45 Eastern Time, that's 10:45 Pacific Time, on Sports Grid Sports News View. Sports Grid is a network dealing with sports news information and betting as well. And Sports News Wire comes your way at 2 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m., excuse me, Pacific Time. And I'm usually on, as I said, 2:45 p.m. With all sorts of sports commentary. Probably we're doing some thoughts about the upcoming college football playoff and bowl system and about the latest ratings on the World Cup. So far, so good for both Fox and Telemundo. That's Sports News Wire on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and devices Wednesdays, beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific time. Brady, how do these auctions work? Are they all done from the same location? How long do they last for? Give me a sense of the atmosphere of an auction.
Yes, of course. So we broadcast the Fine Art Auction Friday through Monday, 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. So that's 4 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so those 4 days of the week we're on in the evenings, and the show lasts for 5 hours. And people can phone in from the moment that we start broadcasting till midnight Eastern Standard Time. And again, depending on who your cable provider is, most of the time our channel can be found near the shopping channel areas, so near some of the more well-known shopping channels like HTV, Home Shopping Network, Gem TV, in that neighborhood of shopping channels. It varies from cable provider to cable provider. You'll find the Fine Art Auction during that time frame.
And then how do you fill out the rest of the schedule? Do you just basically replay what you do Friday through Monday nights? Do you do other programming?
No,
how does it work out?
Yeah, no, we're only on those four nights of the week. And so that's the nights that we have over the years have determined is when most people would prefer to tune in. And when we have such a, you know, significant audience, we like to say we allow people to acquire and learn about artwork from the safety and comfort of their homes. So we tell people, you know, sit down in your favorite chair, pull up a glass of wine or a tea, a coffee, whatever your beverage of choice is, and sit back and be prepared to be entertained and educated and see some of the great artwork created over the last 600 years.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you showcase more than 150 artworks each week. How do you pick the art, and do you try to sort of format it so, let's say, 1 hour might be this art period, and then the next hour is more contemporary art or Baroque art or art, let's say, from a particular artist or sculptor or designer?
Good question, Simon. We try to, since not everybody likes a particular genre or period of artwork. Art is very personal, as you can imagine. So we try to sprinkle in on every hour a little variety. So in 1 hour, you can have an original Picasso lithograph. You can have a Matisse lithograph. But then you can have a piece by the international street artist Kef, who's an artist that we represent exclusively, who just happened to be in Qatar painting a set of decorative goalposts for the World Cup. He was one of 10 artists that was chosen around the world to participate in this great experience of painting these goalposts. And so we would show an original painting by him. We could have a sculpture by Gauguin, which we've shown in the past. And so there'll be a variety from different periods every hour. We don't segregate the hours or determine that 1 hour is going to be more contemporary commercial, because again, we want everyone to feel comfortable during each and every hour of broadcast time. So we like to give a little bit of everything. And when you go to the Fine Art Auction website, you can see a catalog ahead of time of those 100+ pieces that are going to be shown over the course of those 4 days of broadcasting, so one can have an idea of what is going to appear at each and every hour of the show.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from some of the major auction houses like Sotheby's or Christie's, or whether in the United States or overseas, about the possibility of showcasing their auctions live on your service?
No, because I would say we're friendly competitors of theirs. I would say they're in their niche, and most of the major auction houses are now also doing things online, digitally, and live streaming, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that what we do is we have geared our audience and our marketplace to trying to educate and enrich people who might be a little bit intimidated by a Sotheby's or a Christie's auction in New York, Los Angeles, London, something of that nature. And here is a way to participate from the comfort of their homes on a different level.
Yeah. Do you do the auctions from one location, or do you try to spread it around so that, let's say, sometimes you'll originate a program from a certain city or a certain region, the way, for example, Antique
yeah.
Roadshow does every week on PBS?
Yeah, we don't currently do that, but there have been discussions to go to certain cities to broadcast live, to showcase a particular artist that happens to be in that city. Our studios are out of Atlanta, Georgia, so the broadcasting and everything emanates from there. The artwork is live in the studio being shown with the auctioneer, entertainer there with the artwork. But there has been talk of doing some, as you call it, roadshow broadcasting, but we have not done that yet.
Also, Mark, when you feature a contemporary artist, do you try to get that artist into the studio so that the auctioneer can do like a quick interview with the person so we get to know this person and their art style and why they do what they do to, again,
yes.
Bring more interest to the table?
Yes, Simon, we do. I have to say COVID was a bit of a restrictor in that area, but prior to COVID and now we're starting to see that we're able to have artists back again in the studio. During COVID, we were doing Zoom conference and having the artist appear in that manner. For example, two weeks ago, we had the artist Kef, who had just returned from Qatar. He was unveiling a new line of works that he had just completed of ceramics that he had painted, done from a famous studio in Italy, a ceramic studio. And so he appeared live virtually via Zoom. But yes, we often have artists come to the studio in Atlanta. And that's another reason I say we're looking at the future of broadcasting remotely, because that opens up a lot of other potential where it might not be convenient for an artist to travel to Georgia, where we can maybe appear where they're going to be having an exhibition or out of their own studio broadcast remotely. So we love having artists live because, as you say, it gives it allows the public to put a name with a face and see the personality of the artist. No one can describe artwork as well as an artist himself, the motivation, the symbolism, what he was thinking at the time he created the work, things of that nature.
Fine Art Auction Channel, which originates from Atlanta, Georgia, runs every week on smart TV sets and smart devices, also runs in many areas on your local cable operator. And we're speaking with Mark Bronson, Mark Bronson, the vice president of the network, and he joins us live from Indian Wells, California this half hour here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy Cyber Monday, Monday after Thanksgiving to you and yours. Simon Abram with you live from Nueva York, 51 degrees at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Mark, make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Classic trivia question coming your way in a few minutes. Stay tuned. We have two brand new CD music collections for you if you become our third weekly winner in a row. So stay tuned for the question. It is coming up at the top of the hour. Also, in addition to doing this program, and also now in recent months, Sports Newswire on Sports Grid Network, I also write a column about the world of television for Media Village, the media leadership website. Check it out. That's www.mediavillage.com, www.mediavillage.com. Who, by the way, watches this network? I'm wondering if if it's the over 50 crowd, or are you finding millennials are watching, or Gen X, Gen Y? Who is watching your network?
Yeah, Simon, I would say that traditionally over the course of our time on air, it's been a more mature audience. But it's amazing how they've gravitated towards one of our areas of expertise is auctioning urban artwork, or what's also affectionately referred to as graffiti art. And we represent some of the top artists in the world in that genre. And so it's interesting that a mature audience is interested in acquiring those works as well as those of 20th century masters and 19th century painters. But I think that we're seeing a shift a little bit to a younger audience. And I think by being able to have younger artists, that also will facilitate us having some younger participants as well.
You know, Mark, we are now reaching a point where the majority of smart TV sets and smart TV devices that viewers have now have artificial intelligence software, both video and audio, which allow them to watch and use the television set with their voice as opposed to just the remote control. Has there been any thought about expanding the auction process where if people want to place a bid as an option to making a phone call, they do it with their voice or they do it with their remote control?
I'm not sure if that is in the works per se, Simon. I know that down the road we will have an app where people will be able to, as also is done through the major auction houses, you'll be able to place a bid with your phone. And so I guess if you were watching the show on our website, you would be able to perform that task with your remote. If it was a smart TV and you were logged in digitally, you could do it that way. But I think we're going more in the direction of doing bidding vis-a-vis an app, as well as being able to phone in and speak to one of the live operators.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody thought about ad support or underwriting? Whether like this hour of our program or our auction is being brought to you by ExxonMobil or brought to you by Procter & Gamble or brought to you by McDonald's as a way to generate a separate revenue stream?
We haven't done that, Simon. We preferred to pay for the airtime ourselves, but that's not to say we wouldn't be open to that down the road. I think it depends, I believe, on what the potential advertiser saw in the benefits from our particular audience. You know, we do like to dedicate as much airtime as possible to the selling of artwork, the auctioning of artwork, the education of our wonderful fans and viewers. And so we try to keep that time dedicated to the presentations, to the educational videos we're showing. So I'm not sure how much we would be willing to carve out for advertising.
In many respects, this reminds me of the Metropolitan Opera broadcast that were so big on radio on Saturday afternoons for many, many decades, the Texaco sponsors, where you had the opera live here in New York. And then you had unique features in intermission, like opera news on the air in the first intermission, and the famous Texaco Opera Quiz, which, by the way, you can now hear audio excerpts from some of those programs, which was on the second intermission, and so on. Have you any thought about developing supplemental programming on your service, let's say artist profiles, or you know the fine art of auctioneering, maybe doing an interview with an auctioneer? Supplemental programming that you can run when you're not running the auction live?
That's always a possibility, Simon. We've looked at the possibility of having parallel shows, as you're describing. We just haven't fulfilled those ideas to their fullest, but it's a great suggestion. We find that when we do have a segment dedicated to a particular artist or when we do focus with video content. It's always very well received when we do our documentary style videos on a particular artist. So I think that there could be a lot of benefit to having that type of educational programming. And I do remember the Metropolitan broadcasts that you're describing.
Yeah, I've become a big fan of the Texaco Opera Quiz that you now can catch on YouTube. It's really amazing who was on that quiz and the work that Edward Downs and other people did to the questions that they offered. It was very inventive. It was always done before a live audience in the second intermission and a whale of a lot of fun. If you haven't checked it out, do. Maybe there's like a, you know, fine art auction art quiz you could do, let's say, during an intermission or a down period in one of the auction nights. You know, you never know. Anyway, if you want to catch the Fine Art Auction Channel, you go to your favorite smart TV set or smart TV device. In many cases, you can also go to your local cable or satellite operator as well. For more details about the service online, go to thefineartauction.com. That's thefineartauction, all one phrase, .com. Fine Art Auction Channel, now available on smart TV sets and devices. Mark Bronson, the Vice President of the Service, live from Indian Wells, California. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the expansion of your service and hopefully much, much more in the year ahead. And for all of us, to all of you and your crew, a very, very happy holiday season.
Thank you for having me, Simon. Greatly appreciate it, and the same to you and yours.
Very, very much, Mark. Same here for you. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care. You too. Bye.
Mark Bronson, the Vice President of Fine Art Auction Channel, joining us live from Indian Wells, California. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We are going for our third, that's right, third weekly winner in a row. And our weekly winner this time is going to get a pair of wonderful CDs. The Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Live in New York concert in its entirety and the original motion picture soundtrack of the film that really pushed Jennifer Lopez into superstardom, Selena. And both of those can be yours if you know the answer to the following question. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. It was on from 1983 to 1988. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win both of those CDs. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. By the way, I want to acknowledge Shabaka Bike Open Enhance just joined our chat room. So if you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us that call, 646-652-2906. Once again, the question, name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. It ran from 1983 to 1988. So again, if you have the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And your first direct answer, you will win the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Live in New York City concert and the original motion picture soundtrack to Selena. All sorts of wonderful tunes, including some from that great star as well. And again, we don't get the answer by end of today. Catch it tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you know it, you got to play in. Do so, and you could very well be our third weekly winner in a row. And what a great way to start your holiday season. So get in the game now, okay? And all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about TV's current and future. Delighted to have you with us. We come your way Mondays and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, after our show is done live, we go on podcast through the wonderful facilities of people like the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Apple TV, and other wonderful podcast destinations. So check us out. Tell your friends to do so as well. And if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, including many of our episodes this month, all you have to do is you can also go, in addition to our podcast sites, to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also go to our wonderful website. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. And if you want to ask a question about the world of television, go to that website, go to the bottom of the home screen, put that question in, I get it, and if I use it on the air, you get the credit. So check it out, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. When we come back, we will have our tribute to the late, great, wonderful performer from the 70s and 80s, Irene Cara. And you might be surprised how much television had a role to play in her amazing career. We will get to that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of VCR's most popular shows comes your way tonight, the Caribbean Radio Show. It's on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's the Caribbean Radio Show tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best of BTR always comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com, available more and more through smart TV sets and devices. Welcome back to our final little while here on Tomorrow Be Televised on Cyber Monday 2022, our last November edition. And we are delighted to have you with us. Simon Albon with you live from the Big Apple, 51 degrees top of the hour. Welcome to those just joining the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment or you want to pay tribute to Irene Cara, which we're about to talk about, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Or you can get into our chat room as Shabak Bike Expenhanced joined us a little while ago. And that room is Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, as always, you can connect others by simply using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and other people will be live with you just like that. And they can stay with you through the rest of the program. Well, one of the shocking developments of this Thanksgiving weekend 2022 was the news over the weekend that Irene Cara, who was one of the brightest stars in theater, in film, and in television. Of course, you know her as Coco Hernandez in Fame. She sang two of the best songs of that movie, Fame, the title song, which won the Oscar that year for Best Original Song, and Out Here on My Own, that was nominated for an Oscar, and then later on co-wrote the Oscar-winning tune several years later, Flashdance, What a Feeling. Well, she passed away at her home in Florida. She was in her mid-60s. We still don't know what caused her death, and believe me, the outpouring is really amazing. Even more amazing when you consider that for the last few decades, we haven't heard much from Irene Cara. Not much in terms of performances, not much in terms of new tunes, new songs she wrote or co-wrote, not much in terms of television. But what's interesting about Irene Cara's career is that television had a lot to do with the kind of career she ended up having. For those who don't know, Irene was born in the Bronx, New York, and believe it or not, her first breakthrough in the world of entertainment was on Spanish-language television here in the Big Apple in the mid and late 1960s. How? Well, even though there was no national Spanish-language network like SIN, now Univision, or Telemundo at the time, there were independent Spanish-language television stations here in New York, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, and a few other markets. And many of those stations, which were, again, independently owned, did local variety shows on a very low budget. And Cara participated in some of those variety shows, singing and dancing. And then from there, she got involved with Off-Broadway, especially a groundbreaking review called The Me Nobody Knows. It eventually won the Obie Award. That's the Off-Broadway version of the Tony Award. It later had a Broadway run, short-lived, but well-acclaimed, and in fact was nominated, I believe, for a Tony that season for Best Musical. From there, Irene went back to television in 1970 and got the role of Daisy Allen in the popular CBS daytime drama Love of Life. That role lasted over a year. And in the fall of 1971, she made the transition from daytime drama to public television for kids and families with the very popular children's television workshop production, The Electric Company. She was part of the band known as The Short Circus and was there for the first year and I believe the second year as well of the show. And, of course, she joined people like Bill Cosby, Rita Moreno, Morgan Freeman, which was his breakout role in all of entertainment, Skip Hannon, Judy Graubert, a fantastic cast that ran a bunch of years in the 70s and really made its mark just like Sesame Street did also for PBS. Then, later in the decade, she had a major role in the sequel to Roots on ABC, Roots, The Next Generation. And it was shortly after she did her first major film, Sparkle. That's the film which really was her breakout role in that medium, playing a member of a Supremes-type girl group, that she did Roots, The Next Generation. And the following year, she was involved in the controversial made-for-TV movie Guyana Tragedy, The Story of Jim Jones. That was the film that Powers Booth, who played Jim Jones, won the Emmy for, and it was the year that the actors and other people involved with getting Emmys were on strike. They protested at the Emmys, and Powers Booth was the only actor, in fact, the only Emmy nominee to accept their award in person. Then came fame. Of course, that Coco Hernandez role and her performance and doing all that great music. And then around the time that Flashdance came out in 1983, she was involved in a major American Playhouse production about the story of the great civil rights leader Medgar Evers, played Marley Evers in that. And then after that, after all her great work in film and television and in Broadway theater, where she did a number of Broadway musicals, including the first science fiction musical I can remember called Via Galactica, Irene Cara just disappeared. No hit songs, no movies, no television specials or made-for-TV movies. She just left the entertainment field. It was never explained why. She never did any like special revealing interviews about why she decided to let it all go after the great success she had had in the 70s and 80s. And then from then on, the 1990s and so forth, she made very infrequent appearances in movies, on television shows, whether variety or otherwise, and then on Broadway as well, or even doing voiceover work for animated shows or video games and so forth. In fact, her final appearance anywhere was on a television series, the second season of CMT's Gone Country 11 years ago in 2011. She was one of the seven or eight contestants from different parts of the entertainment world who were being trained to sing country music. And she left after two episodes, not because of the what it took for her to be in that show, but because she was not very happy with the behavior of one of the fellow contestants. We're not going to see who it is because that person is still alive. And she decided to just drop out after two seasons of season two. The show itself, by the way, ran three seasons. And that turned out to be the final television appearance of Irene Cara. She was, in whatever medium she did, really amazing. She was a quadruple threat: singer, dancer, actress, and then later on, co-songwriter, Oscar-winning co-songwriter for Flashdance, What a Feeling. It's really amazing that she had the career she had. She was a bright light. You could not help but like Irene Cara in whatever age you saw her at, as a youngster, as a teenager, as a 20-something, and as a grown adult. She just had the knack to entertain you. She was, in a way, for many people, sort of the Judy Garland or the Diana Ross of that era. She had a wonderful voice. She had great personality. She had, like that movie, she had sparkle, plenty of sparkle. And she is one of those people that you wish could have had a longer career, and we could have appreciated her more. And one thing you can say now about Irene Cara, that she has gone to the entertainment world upstairs, is that here on Earth, back here on Earth, she will live forever. And baby, we will remember her name for a very long time. Before we leave you, we're going to give you one more time our classic trivia question of the week. For those of you that just joined us at the top of the hour, we're going for our third weekly winner in a row, and our prizes are the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Live in New York City concert CD, and another great CD, the original motion picture soundtrack that pushed Jennifer Lopez into superstardom, Selena. And you can get them if you know the answer to this question. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. It ran from 1983 to 1988. Name the country music-oriented game show hosted by country music star Bill Anderson. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address so that if you win, we get the prize out to you ASAP. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, there's only one way you can win. You play in. So do so, and all the very best. Thanks once again to our guest, Brady Connell, the executive producer of The Great Christmas Life Fight, begins tonight. It's 10th season on ABC, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And Mark Bronson, the vice president of Fire Auction Channel, now running not only on cable systems, but also on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Again, coming your way on Friday, among our guests, we will have the president and chief officer of the revival of Speed Vision, now on smart TV sets and devices, Robert Scanlon. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed this month or throughout 2022, go right to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They will be available right here at the IR Radio Podcast Network, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, iTunes, Apple TV, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other great podcast destinations. And if there's a podcast site that you would like to hear our show on and it doesn't, please let me know. We'll get in contact with them. Drop the folks a note. Let them know that our show is on the air, and we would love to be on their podcast site, and we'll make it happen lickety-split. And as always, we do appreciate you being aboard. So we want to hear from you. What do you think about our guests today and what they're doing? What's your thoughts about the current and future state of television? We'd like to hear, and I'd love to have your thoughts about Irene Cara as well. So give us an email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, on Twitter, and on LinkedIn at our homepage. That is Blog Talk Radio. That's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised-onpodium.com. However you respond to us, we respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR General Manager. Dave Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the NSU Podcast Outpost. Kisara Fakis is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend, and I hope you have a great start to your holiday season and a super rest of your Cyber Monday 2022. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast nations and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Whatever you're up to be now and Friday, make it safe, make it great. If you didn't get a chance to over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, how about this post-Thanksgiving week and this beginning of the holiday season? Acknowledge the people in your life. Let them know what they mean for you and you mean for them. And I promise you, this holiday season will be for you and them much, much greater. And if you haven't been vaccinated, please check in with your doctor. Find out about your medical situation. Remember, there's alternatives to boosters and vaccines. So check them out. And then when you do, make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.